Welcome to PaintEd. PCA provides painting contractors with connections they need to grow their business. To find out more and to become a member, visit pcapainted.org. Find more great content like this on PCA Overdrive. A subscription to the platform is included with membership. For all of you non-members out there, sign up for a free trial. PCA Overdrive is available on the App Store and Google Play. This episode is brought to you by Angie, Estimate Rocket, and Paint Supply.
Welcome back to another episode of the Elite Business Advice Podcast. My name is Chris Marr, the founder of Elite Business Advisors, your host for the podcast. I know what you're thinking. If you read the title for this episode, you're sitting here wondering, Chris, why on earth are we already thinking about next winter? It's still snowing here, depending on where you're at listening to this, right? If you're in Hawaii, you've already tuned me out, although the holidays affect you, the weather may not. Keep that in mind, and all the other natural disasters that may or may not happen throughout the year. So why do we need to be thinking about next winter right now? Well, number one, if you've had some pain this winter, I don't want to cause PTSD or anything crazy, but if you've had some pain, now's a great time to look back on it and think about what could I have done differently. It's a lot easier to be in the mindset of change now when you're coming out of an event or have recently gone through something that wasn't ideal, as compared to waiting until July or August, if you're smart at least, and start thinking that far ahead when things are in the middle of it and you've already kind of blacked out the pain of this wintertime, right? The other thing, it's important to think about, because we probably need to work on some strategies and plans on what you can control the next 6 to 7 months to keep whatever you just went through from happening again, if it wasn't the ideal situation. If you had a perfect winter, one, let us know, because we want to interview you and figure out what worked, because probably even 98% of our clients to some degree missed the mark in some goals one way or the other. Maybe it wasn't as ideal, but they got through it, all is good, and they're on to better days now. But no matter what, everybody I think had some effects this winter, and it's been different every year as we come out of the C season, as I call it. I won't say the full name, so I'm so sick of hearing about it, as everybody is. So we come out of that season, every winter's been a little different. Last year was the big freak out. This year was like expected, but still a little slow, but then it picked up. Weather was nice in a lot of areas. So all that to say, I want to make sure that we start talking about strategies you can do now. We've got two big ones that you can think through now on what you want to do this year in 2024 to make next winter even better than what you just went through. So I hope it helps. Thanks for plugging in. This is the Elite Business Advice Podcast. All right, so I want to break this session with you guys down into two different segments, and really two different strategies. Strategy number one, we need to figure out how we grow more year round to have a more successful winter than what you had this past year, right? A little bit more steady growth. Strategy number two, how do we balloon up and take advantage of your busy seasons, spring, summer, fall, what we're heading into the next, I'll just say 6 months, 6 to 7, depending on your market, in order to stack up some chips, if you will, and weather through next winter even better. I think it's ironic, by the way, the term weather through it, because it's the weather that freaking causes half the problems, but you get where I'm going here. How do we make sure that the next 6 or 7 months are extra fruitful for you to where we can get through wintertime next winter without any headaches? Now, the best part of this would be to balloon up, take strategy number two, and then like still do strategy number one and have a better winter. I love that idea. That's like the best of both worlds, right? And when I say balloon up and be prepared to lose some money next winter, I don't mean you don't work. I don't mean you don't try, but it takes the pressure off the fact. Nobody loves losing money, but it takes some pressure off if you at least have some money there from the fruits of your labor this year to help you get through that time and not go backwards, right? Unfortunately, what we saw a lot of people do last year is they dug themselves into a hole winter of 22 into 23. And they finally climbed out of that hole in about September, October to get back to baseline zero to do, guess what? Right back into a hole again over wintertime and just start climbing back out of it now, right? So the goal is I want you to not start out on even ground if you're, you know, standing on dirt, for lack of a better analogy. I want you to build up the chips to where you can stand up on a dirt hill and maybe dig halfway down back to solid ground and then keep adding to that dirt hill next year and eventually get on the other side of this whole situation. So just know, again, I'm not saying we take the winter off, but if you're losing, you know, $5,000-$10,000 a month, depending on your business size, you can get by with it, right? So strategy number one, how do we grow year round? How do we make sure that we grow more next winter than what we did this year? Number one, constant improvement of all marketing channels. How do we continue making sure we have leads coming in? That's the biggest issue everybody has November through March. Just as a blanket statement of months there, November through March, it's lead flow. We don't have enough leads coming in. People are thinking about the holidays. People obviously aren't painting exteriors in a lot of markets. People are busy. Kids are finishing up school, some graduation. There's so many things that happen in that segment of months that lead flow drops, okay? So how do we make sure that we still have a good, healthy amount of leads coming in? And number one, it's an improvement in everything you're doing for marketing. We have to figure out how to get more people in the door. How do we connect with the people that might not be worried about the things other people are worried about, right? Retirees typically aren't worrying about their kids coming home from college for the holidays. Now they might be worried about their grandkids, but it's a little different situation, right? So maybe how do we look at different markets? Maybe people that travel out of town to go see family for the holidays, they don't care if their house is a mess because they're not having their family there, right? How do we tap into that? And again, some of that just comes through marketing channels and education. Second thing, we got to start planning for June and July, or start planning for the winter in June or July. This was the whole reason we had our lead business retreat last year. Whole reason we're doing it again this year, July 30th, July 31st, here in St. Louis. More details to come. I'll say in the next 45 days. We got to finish getting through Expo and I got some travel coming up here. By mid to end of April, we'll have details on that. But that's why we did it, was to start planning through that. We even did a podcast episode after for those of you guys that couldn't make it to the retreat last year. Season 3, episode 33, you'll get a little more details. How do you start thinking ahead that far? That's a great thing to do to help get through the slower time. Number three, build a pipeline of leads, relationships, and systems to organically bring leads in. Again, as I mentioned, lead flow is important, right? So how are we doing all the things we can do to maximize the relationships and the people, right? When things get slow, when things get tight, the relationships and the network you've built, the constant stream of leads will be the thing that can carry you through some of those times. So start doing that now to get yourself in a spot where maybe next winter you have an extra 5 to 7 leads or 10 leads, again, depending on your business size, coming in because of the fruits and the things you're planting now in the relationships with those people, whether it's real estate, interior design, other contractors, whatever your bread and butter connection point is, start sowing into those people now, right? And then that way, by that time, hopefully there's enough trust built and enough things happening that you can get some leads coming in just from new relationships or strengthening existing ones. And really the whole goal with this is slow and steady wins the race, right? It's slow, good, consistent, steady growth. Everything we just talked about here. And again, as I mentioned earlier on, I don't think it's a bad thing to take the next strategy I'm gonna go through and mirror it with this one, right? Because it's just gonna give you that much more security, you have that much of a better year. But I, you know, unfortunately we've seen way too much. People are just focused so much on growing, you know, and how do we make November through March the best and this and that. And we see it year and year again, that sometimes again, we're getting back to zero, right? Or we dig ourselves into a hole, or, you know, we had a small cushion and then it just got all ate up, you know? And so that's why kind of strategy number two is really what we're talking to a lot of our clients about right now. And, you know, obviously it depends on your business goals and what you're trying to get out of it, right? But I mean, cash flow is a reality of things, right? And, you know, again, coming out of this season, we see the slower time, we see the pain point, so it's easier for us to talk about some of this right now. And so strategy number two is really ballooning up in spring, summer, and fall. How can we take advantage of the busy seasons that you typically have, you know, for a lot of people that do interiors and exteriors, and again, just in general, even in the non-weather climates, or maybe you don't do exteriors, right? After the holidays, everything gets affected, right? This time of year is when people are doing a lot of projects, right? Tax refunds happen, kids are out of school, all the different things that allow people maybe some more capacity financially, time, or just mental to do these projects. But how do we capitalize on that, right? How do we grow in a way that we can capitalize on the demand that is here the next 6 to 7 months and be less reliant on winter? And again, or worst case, balloon up winter a little bit too. And so there's a couple of things I think of. For most people, if this is the season where leads are coming in, you're selling a lot of work, you're booking out a long time, you basically have a production problem on your hands, right? And this isn't the case for everyone, but for a lot of people, it becomes a production problem. I met somebody last week at the pro show here in St. Louis. He said their summer is already booked. Like, And he said, and it was pretty well booked before they even got into January this year, right? That is what's called a production problem. I don't know the size of their company. We didn't get into a deep conversation, but that's a production problem, right? The easiest way to offset a production problem, and I don't want to say that this whole thing is reliant on it, is we got to increase our capacity, right? So the easy one, I look at subcontractors, right? We've talked about the hybrid model. We've talked about this before. It's not for everyone. Don't go hire a sub if you're not prepared to hire and handle and work through and vet a sub, okay? Let me be very, very clear on this. But for most people, you can only handle, maybe your production team, your operations team can only handle so much, right? It maybe doesn't make sense for you to hire a project manager just for the next 6 months when you know in wintertime you're not going to need them because you're going to scale back down to six people, right? Maybe it's, you know, summertime you run 9 or 10, you're maxed out. And it's either, hey, if we hire more employees, we need a full-time project manager. Well, now that's a huge overhead in the wintertime. Different strategy to talk about. Or you can say, hey, if we could hire one or two subs to just knock out some stuff for us, could that be an option, right? Maybe it's in your scope of work. Maybe it's in the painting industry, you know, that you can hire a sub for. Or you can look at some other options. You know, what other things can you add into your business? And this isn't something to listen to this episode and just get off here and go update your website and say, okay, hey, we're doing this now, right? But even outside of your trade, right? The obvious one again is in internally, right? You sell more painting work and you can maybe sub some of it out and hit your numbers and some, you know, I call it bonus money. That's why I love the hybrid model. But maybe there's some other things you can look at, right? Can you add in a soft wash contractor into your business and start, you know, referring or doing soft washes through your company? You know, somebody that you know, you know, it's soft wash, power wash, there's a little bit different terminology there. I won't get into that, but maybe it's a sub that you can use in a different complementary trade to bring in some additional revenue or profit into your business now during this time, right? Maybe it's a drywall subcontractor. Maybe you say, hey, you know, we're seeing like a demand. There's a lot of stuff we need, like drywall repairs or you know, certain things done with. Maybe we can connect with the sub for drywall and kind of bring that into our mix. Again, let me be very clear with these few things I'm just throwing out here. Don't do something you're not prepared to do. You have no idea how to sell and you have no idea how to manage. Okay. Like very, very clear thing. But I'm saying like there might be relationships out there with people that can fulfill these services that are looking for more work. You have the customer base that can provide this work and you guys figure out how to work together, right? There might be an opportunity to make some extra money again during your busy season. Maybe it's carpentry, maybe it's trim install, door, you know, interior door installs, certain things like that, that again, you can partner with somebody else that you trust and know does good work and carries your values that you can, you know, again, make some profit off of here during the season. And so when I say balloon up, I do typically mean growing your painting revenue production per month, right? And again, subcontractors are the easier way to do that. I don't say easy or easiest, but easier way to do that than adding employees. Because again, employees mean management and more things that come into that. And maybe you're maxed out and you couldn't even bring a sub on. Then we need to figure out, okay, how do we do more the next 7 months? And that's why I wanted to do this episode today. It's not that you're going to leave here and have all the answers, but you're going to at least start thinking mindset wise of, instead of a $5,000 to $7,000 a month, you know, net profit cash flow on your production, how do we make that to be 15,000 a month or 10 or 15,000 a month, where now we're stacking up against some chips to offset the pressure in the wintertime to make sure that you run out of wintertime at least on a higher ground than zero, not backwards, to build the momentum running into next year, right? And maybe some of these things could be good long-term strategies for you. But how can we make sure we are growing our profit this summer and maximizing what we have our hands on, right? And I love the relationship aspect. I love the complementary services, right? You know, again, it's growing your painting revenue, or it's adding in other revenue streams that make sense, right? Again, makes sense. Huge caveat. Don't start doing home remodels if you have no idea how to be a home remodeling contractor. Please, like, know your limits here. But let's think about the things that could be some opportunities for you to build relationships, build other people, and partner with people. The great thing is about a soft wash company, he probably gets people asking about painting, right? So could there be a win-win partnership there? Absolutely, right? There's a lot of opportunities here to think through some of these things. No matter what you choose, you have to determine one thing. Now you need to know what is your cash cushion on November 1st to get through from November 1 until this time next year, right? No matter what strategy you go with, we need to understand the numbers so that we can plan ahead. One day I might do an episode that doesn't even bring the numbers into it, but I don't see that happening anytime in this season, probably not in season 5 next year either, just to give you a quick heads up on the next, 90 episodes coming, wherever we're at right now. But we need to know, we need to understand that. And really, here's the reason why. The cash cushion that you need to get through next winter is going to be really different than the cash cushion you need right now heading into your busy season. You need a solid 6 months of operating expenses in the bank by November 1st. That's a blanket statement. I'm just going to be truthful with you, right? But as we look right now, I'm a little bit more on the, hey, if we can have 2 or 3 months of operating expenses in the bank heading into people's busy seasons, I feel really good about their financial situation, knowing that things are ramping up sales, production, everything right now for a lot of our clients. But when we're in October, November, heading into the slower season, I want to see that closer to 6 months. And again, that's just a good blanket statement for you, right? And that should factor in, because again, we don't expect to just be at zero, but we do expect that, you know, we're probably maybe going to have a little bit of a loss, especially December and January are the hardest months. And then it kind of kills the lead flow heading into February, right? So like it is a tough few months there. But, you know, your operating expenses, what your overhead is for the business, right? What are the things you wouldn't cut if times got tough? Truthfully, ideally, your salary, right? Whatever you pay yourself each month. If you can have those two things in the account, 6 months of that heading in November 1st, you're going to be great because you're still going to have some money coming in. You're still going to be paying your people, you know, for when they're working and stuff. And if you're one of those companies, you're like, hey, I want to make sure that my painters, even if they sit for 2 weeks, right, maybe in some really dire situations, I want to make sure that we at least give them a minimum, you know, $300, $400, something just to help them get through that time, right? Build that into your financial numbers, into your cushion you need, and plan for it now, right? We have clients that do different things like that. You know, some people say, hey, just go collect unemployment for a month if things get really slow. But we have some people that are like, hey, we want to pay our people. Well, I'm fine with that if we plan ahead and budget for it. I love the idea of taking care of your people, right? At the end of the day, I mean, that's kind of your job as an employer. That's the risky part about W-2 employees versus subs, is you're kind of responsible and promising them work. And if you don't have it and there's no expectation there, it's really hard. If there's an expectation, it's easier. But man, if you want to really be the employer of the year, stack up some gifts and just say, hey, I guarantee you guys, if you sit at home for a whole week, I'll at least give you $400. It's not going to be what you normally make, right? It might only be a half a week's worth of pay, but at least it's something to help you get by, just as, you know, a thank you for being loyal to us, right? Again, you don't have to do that, but if you're going to, you need to think about that now, and you need to budget that into the cash cushion you need on November 1 as part of your operating expenses for those 6 months. So with that being said, there is some bonus options out there. I wanted to mention them, but I don't want to highlight or fixate on them. There's a lot of other information out there, that's available on some of this. But here's some things that I've had people do that I see in Facebook groups that work. Some people pivot to Christmas light hanging. You got a lot of the equipment. You got pretty much everything you need. It's a pretty easy thing to learn. It's very profitable, especially for the time that goes into it when you get your system and routine down. The pro and the con is, if you're really busy up through Thanksgiving, a lot of times this people start hanging these lights November 1, November 7th, November 8th, right before Thanksgiving even. Obviously, people don't typically turn them on until Thanksgiving or after, but they start being hung then, right? So if you die off really hard in October, it might be something worth thinking about. It can still work for you even if you're busy through Thanksgiving historically, but you're only gonna have a real short time in December that it may or may not be worth learning all this and understanding, or it's just a slow thing that something's better than nothing, right? You go back, take it all down after Christmas, box everything up, leave it there. It's a good thing, right? There's a lot of information out there. I think there's even a non-for-profit like the PCA, I've heard. I don't remember what the acronym is. I want to say it's like CLIPA or something, like Christmas light, something. Anyways, just you can find some information about it, but it's something to think about, right? Maybe it's more remodel type work in the wintertime. We know some people that do, house flip or, you know, something extra. Again, do not get into anything you're not an expert in, but if you have the skill set, you have the capability, you have the relationships, and there's something you can think about, you know, making sure your people know these skills, to do more carpentry work, to do more drywall work, to do some demo work, to do whatever, it's something else to think about, right? Again, I'm not saying go do this. This isn't strong advice from Chris, but it's things that we've seen other people do that when the situation, the knowledge and the capacity is there, it can be done, right? There's a handful more things. I'm sure we'll add more to this as we go throughout the year. But I just wanted to highlight the importance on starting to think about this now and why we need to be thinking about next winter now so we can figure out what our numbers look like and we can put a plan together to make sure we have the numbers heading into next winter. I hope you guys have a great rest of the day.
PayNet podcasts are produced by the Painting Contractors Association and are made possible by members and industry partners. To find out more about upcoming education opportunities, or for more information about joining PCA, visit pcapainted.org.